or live, whenever you want to start. Give them a minute.
Are they catching any salmon, Joe?
Really?
Are they catching any salmon right now?
Doing four.
Now, man, here. They only had 200 fish for July, and I thought they'd clean those up in a couple of days, but.
I don't think they've caught much.
Cause they mopped up June pretty quick. I thought, oh, good, but.
2:00 on my.
Okay, we'll call a meeting to order. This is a workshop for the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission, Thursday, July 15th, 2021. So Gary, roll call, and we'll officially welcome Commissioner Larry Jonas.
Thank you, thank you.
I'll start with Larry.
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
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 Okay, anybody want to declare a potential conflict of interest?
No.
Nope.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Gary?
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
We have nobody here, no written notification of public comments. Do you have any on the phone?
No public comments came to me, and we have one person on the phone, which is our front office called in. I think Ken was listening.
It's who?
Ken.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, we don't have any other public.
All right.
And as a major official, Martha can't make it today.
All right, that'll move us to information items. So I will turn it over to you.
All right, information item A, business best management practices policy update. Earlier this year, the port entered into a intergovernmental agreement with Florida State Marine Board to demolish two abandoned boats. Part of that IGA required the port to update the best management practices per Exhibit C. So, and the packet here is basically just copy and pasting Exhibit C into our best management practices. I made a whole new category, it's BNP 8. And Sharon did bring to my attention in section 1.1, vessel cleaning, there's a sentence in there that I'm kind of updating the final draft for next week. Any other comments or questions on that?
So, Marine Board paid to wreck those, or destroy those boats, didn't they?
Yes.
So is this kind of what's necessary to qualify to be part of that program?
Yeah, it's part of the agreement that we made, the IGA. And we did demo the boats, we submitted the cost, and we got reimbursed already.
Great. Well, I hate to be a pessimist, but I think we're gonna be doing more of that, so, just a guess.
They're very happy the way everything went on that. They actually sent a representative down here to watch us demo the boat, and they were very pleased how everything went.
Okay, any further questions?
I have one question. Did our insurance agent look at our insurance provisions in this?
The insurance provisions are the same, we didn't change anything with insurance.
Okay, but I thought the insurance people on the sinkings and the different, there were some issues that weren't fully addressed by, they were having difficulty in complying with what we were asking for, is what I understood.
We haven't had any official contact with insurance people since we had problems.
All the insurance companies can comply, they all have to comply.
Well, I think the issue was that insurance claim that was denied because the boat wasn't underway. It sank at its moorings and they weren't gonna pay. I don't remember which boat that was. better result, so.
You know, that one with the poor daddy, the latest quote that thought they are, the party liability claim, actually got approved and paid. That was like, that was $17,000, so. I know a lot of what we were talking about before was kind of in lieu of what was going to happen with that vote, if it was, but, you know, it kind of proved that our policy worked, is just customer was taken care of and they paid the claim, so. It's just, we're finding that it's just carefully how you put. You know, we had to file a third party claim against somebody, her insurance that she had didn't cover it, but we had to file a claim against her for it, so it's in her insurance.
We didn't really file a claim, we just questioned it. And they took a month and a half, 2 months, and then they paid it.
Okay, all right, good. Anything else? Okay. Beachfront RV park rules.
Yeah, so we're asking to update our rules, one for the slide-in campers, and also updating our tri-camp area. Just updating that information, that we changed the tri-camp area to RV units only with the fully contained units only. So.
So what I understand here is that I'm not familiar with slide-in campers or whatever, but, so now, if we approve this next week or whatever, they'll be allowed to remove them and use their vehicle correctly, that they can't do that now.
Right, that's correct.
Okay, cool.
So these are the big capital campers, and a lot of them have a framework built onto them, or jacks on four corners.
Yeah, I know the jacks, but I just figured they do it for storage, never thought about leaving.
Now, a lot of guys that you'll find want to come over here and do this will have a boat attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
So rather than moving their camp every day, they'd like to drop their camper, hook on the boat, go launch it, and come back.
That makes sense.
That complaint.
Yeah.
Across the board that we get, we gotta pick up everything we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a pretty common practice, most of them that I know of, have a boat facility, if you guys want to do that.
Right.
And the reason that there's no tent is that has to do with the bathroom, right?
The tent site that we got rid of, yes, because we don't have a facility for it.
So a fully contained unit would not include a van that doesn't have a bathroom, right?
That's correct.
How about a porta potty qualify for fully, I guess?
They do have, the composting toilets that they have in those things now, so there's a lot of different ones. You leave it up to Jennifer.
They are contained.
So she's the boss.
They are, I mean, it's.
We do specify the class.
If it has a facility type that allows for it and it's in working order, we let it.
Yeah, I don't want to get into being the potty police.
No.
Necessarily, okay. All right. Catalyst Seafood, building addition.
Yeah, a couple months ago, this came from the board as an information item. Of course, it's coming to the board and other information item, but they officially asked the board to move forward with this project. They plan on getting the permits and doing all the construction, no cost to the port. This is the plan to add a little storage area and add on to their kitchen area.
Well, it improves the footprint size of our building. So. Okay. Any other on that?
Port own that building?
Yeah.
Port owns the building. We don't own the equipment inside, but we own the structure. And we own the property.
Okay. Port security contract.
All right. So our current contract with ForCal, it's expired, but we're just running month to month until we come up with a new contract. So this is is the time to discuss if we want to change what we're doing.
What would you suggest if you changed? What would be your idea?
Well, I have a few ideas in here. I kind of listed one, I add an hour during the day for patrol instead of having our staff doing parking violations, and establishing actually a fine for parking on the books. I leave it up to the third party, which would be the security company, to actually find any parking violations. And then possibly reducing the days. I don't know how you guys feel if we went to 5 days a week instead of every single day that they're patrolling the board.
Well, who would close the restrooms and stuff?
We're working on the keypads. Get the keypads where they automatically open and close.
I'm not sure it makes sense to go to 5 days a week during the summer and the wintertime. I think that would be a really doable thing, but in the summer, I don't know. Given, let's go out and look in the parking lot. I mean, I haven't seen this place a single day yet that I didn't think there was a festival going on down here. So could we, is it possible to write a contract with them that says, okay, from the week before Memorial Day until the 1st of October, it's going to be 7 days a week, and then from then back to five?
Yeah. We can write whatever contract we want to write. Put in whatever language you want to put in there. We can put this out for another RFP if you want to see if there's any other security companies out there that would be interested, or work with PORCAL again.
Well, I'd certainly like to know their willingness to get into the fine business, how they feel about that. And I'm still a little fuzzy. If we wrote a parking ticket to somebody for $25, where do they pay that? At the port?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we'd have to figure that out. And I'm not sure. They would be able to tell us whether they have the authority to do that or not.
I can't follow what you're, can you talk in the mic or
so,
speak up one of the
So my
few,
question
please.
Was on parking fines.
Right.
If the fine, it would seem to me that the fine would be a criminal offense. Parking would be illegal. And I'm not sure that you don't have to be a peace officer to write a citation on a criminal offense.
You have to at least be sworn in by the court.
Yeah.
You're a sworn officer, you don't have to be a police officer. You have to be an officer.
But you would, you'd have peace officer status.
I did 10 years as code enforcement. We went into court and they swore us in as officers of the court, not police officers.
Oh.
And we wrote tickets every day.
Okay. All right. Well, the security people should know that, if that's how it works.
If the board's interested, I'd be contacting Newport to find out more information. They're doing exactly the same thing. They have their security company enforcing all their parking, and they run all the fines through the security company. Court does not handle any of the management side of things. Get more detail. I don't want to bug them without, if we were serious about looking at something like that, find out what they're actually doing and how they handle it.
Do you know how much they charge for a parking violation?
$47 for the first, $47 for the first 10 days. After 10 days, they don't pay it, it goes up double. And then after 20 days, it goes up triple. Pretty stiff on there.
And how does the, you've got a note here, security company manages fines. How would they be paid for doing this? Do they get a percentage of the fine? Do they get paid by the hour that they spend?
We haven't gone that far with it. Those are details that we would have to figure out as we progress with it.
Well, I guess a fundamental question for this group is, do we want to get into the parking ticket bills?
Right.
What's our goal? Make money or to actually make sure parking is...
It's not so much making money. I think it's just forcing people camping overnight. on port property, then what are they doing on port property when they're camping? Usually they're making a mess, we're cleaning it up, or.
Stealing.
Well, and part of this was generated by complaints over the boat parking.
That's part of it.
To the Marine Board, who said, hey, what are you gonna do about that? So, I know there's been some issues, I mean, we came down last Tuesday to go seine the river and come back, and there were two tickets on two of the cars that were there for the guys for seining, and that your guys would not know what they were doing. So, you know, I can see where we could have some issues too. Having said that, I don't know how else you make the parking rules work if you don't do something.
I'm not really sure how effective it is to have this patrol just going around for 2 hours, and people that are doing wrong down here know when they're coming and going, and I don't know, I just don't. $45 an hour to.
Well, last month, we had 181 parking violations.
181 parking violations.
57 were from us writing tickets for no tickets or single parking. And then
right.
About 120 or so were us at port, and then also Orcal, right, the overnight parking, no camping.
Right.
So that was just in 1 month period.
Let me ask you a question about launch permits. Is it possible to design a launch permit that has a tear-off tab on it that could go in the car of somebody that's accompanying somebody on a boat?
Say that again?
So here's my concern. So we come down here to go fishing in the morning. I'm going with somebody else, so I bring my truck down. I'm gonna park it down there somewhere adjacent to the boat trailer parking. You're gonna come up and not see anything in that and probably write me a ticket. So what I'm questioning is there a way we could have them tear off a piece of that launch permit, stick it on their dash? I don't know if that's a solution or not, but I would like to try and avoid those kind of problems.
The way I've kind of started again, the single car parking, I mean, so far I haven't found it worth it to investigate who's parking in the single car parking. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, six or seven of those parking stalls. So currently right now we're not, it's just not.
We did it first, and we found out
a lot of them were,
like you're saying, they're going out with.
And I mean, most of it's like 3 o'clock, 2-3 o'clock is when that's the line, when the tables turn from fishing to restaurant parking. And we found that any time before then, they're mostly all fishermen. And then after that, it's single car parking still. It doesn't say boat trailer. It doesn't say single car parking for fishing. It just says single car parking. So we try not to beat that up too much.
Okay. I like to see what get our signs up, because our signs are going to say no public parking. And we're going to plaster it all over the place down there and just see what happens next.
Okay.
Some people might obey, and some people, I'm sure they won't. They just park and go get their pizza and walk out.
Gary, I've got a question for you. At the boat launch, just a question. Is there any kind of penalty the port would get from the State Marine Board for allowing people to park there or not at least trying to tell them to can't park there? Or is it just the State Marine Board saying, we don't want no one parking here because we did this? Or how? That is a grant, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so how does that.
It's the language in the grant
I just don't know what rules are in that grant.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, just like most of the grants that I've seen, it says that the purpose of this grant is to develop a recreational fishing launch site, and that it is the duty of the grantee to make sure that that's what it's used for.
It would be in violation if we allowed it to park.
So we're in violation, they can make us pay the grant back, correct?
As an example, Francis talk over there. There was a question about drop loading to rust. So I got a hold of Al Early on the State Marine Board, and I said, hey, what about that? And she said, that's not allowed under your grant. And if the issue got pushed, they could ask for the money back, which is $1 million. So.
Yeah, I just want, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the catalyst, I won't use that term, that's the reason behind all of this, is to try and make sure that we do diligence and good faith effort to try and stop it. We're not gonna stop it. I mean.
Yeah, well, hopefully that they're gonna be satisfied with the signs, you know, what we're currently doing with some signs. You know, beyond that, you know, what they said, that if we want to, say, change the hours or alter the hours of the intended use, it's gonna be very in-depth. We have to go to their board, we have to do a whole presentation. It's not something that we wanna do, it's just we wanna try and do up somewhat of a compromise with it.
Yeah, they're okay with us progressing this way. Let's get some signs up there, because we're lacking signs. So we'll get the signs up there, if it continues to be a problem, they continue getting, actually, it's complaint-based, is what they're responding to. So if we continue to get complaints, we'll have to go to the next step. The next step might be stronger enforcement, and then the next step will be whatever, but maybe the hours will go, but if they don't wanna adjust the hours, we'll have to do any other thing first.
Well, incremental implementation of changes is probably the best way to go, just a step at a time, and maybe that's what we should do in terms of, I mean, I think you should find out how Newport handles parking violations, but rather than imposing that at this moment, let's see how this other process works, and then see if we've got to get out a bigger hammer.
Right.
To deal with it.
Well, the other thing I'd like to do, which already got the board's approval, is updating our signs, you know, basic one, basic two. We probably need to update our signs, all the entrances areas, just saying, you know, bigger, maybe a little bigger signs, and clearer marking that there's no camping overnight, no one in his trailers, that type of thing. And just move on from there and see if we continue to have this problem. Then we move on to the stronger enforcement.
Well, I think in fairness too, we need to be a little more broad than Zola's, because it's not just parking for Zola's, it's also for that fat Irish place. I sat down there the other day watching boats come and go, and I watched a bunch of people pull in and park and go across the street. And I thought, yeah, so we're kind of focused on Zola's, but it's not just that. And, you know, let's face it, we got a lot of tourists here, they don't have a clue.
Right.
You know, I watched some guy, and it could have been me, pull in with his big travel trailer. Hey, great, a spot I can park this somewhere, you know.
The reason I asked, I could just see someone saying, oh, the port's going to start citing me now because I parked here, you know. You know how it goes, Travis.
Oh, yeah. I think the citations, I think it'd be good information to know how it does, but take one step at a time.
Okay.
I think the port security contract should be renewed just for a number of reasons. One is the daily service they provide in the items A through G, and if we were to have a port person doing those same activities, you know, going out there 10 o'clock at night, 4 a.m. and all that, the port security person is in a uniform. There's a certain amount of, you know, respect, authority that's presented with that, which our port personnel are not going to have. And then we want to add these other items. I think we have to have that insulation between our staff and the potential violators. I think it's beneficial to do that. So I would definitely suggest renewing the contract unless you have a reason for cause that we didn't want to.
I know it's just if we want to do any more before we do, if we're going to do any more adjustments, do we still want the 7 days a week? You know, do we want to adjust it during the winter? Or keep it 7 days, but do we maybe want to adjust it during the winter time? You know, maybe not 7 days.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think we should, personally, I think we should focus on the time when we have the most problems. And I think most of the problem is in the summer. That's not that we don't have it in the winter, but it's a little less acute than it is in the summer. But
yeah.
What about the hour during the day? That something that's you guys want to be looking at, or?
I just have a question. They only work 2 hours a day. Is that what they're?
2 hours a night.
2 hours a night, unless there's something else, we call them in at 45 an hour.
Right.
So they're scheduled 2 hours a night, 7 days a week.
From 10 a.m. to 4 a.m.
So somewhere in that time, they'll come down for 2 hours. It's
usually it's a 10, usually it's about 10 to 11, and then, you know, the 3 to 4, because they have to unlock the bathrooms by 4, and they need to be locked by 10.
Right. And they close the RV park gate at
right.
10, and then they usually remove anybody that's parked out there that's public. They remove them, or sign them, or ticket them, whatever. And then they do a patrol around the fort, lock up the restrooms, and then they... Between that time, they sometimes come and go, you know, midnight or 1 a.m., whatever, and then come back in, whatever. They normally put in, typically they put in more than 2 hours. I've seen it because I check their logs and add up their time just to make sure we're getting our money's worth. There's days that they have less than 2 hours, but majority of the days are actually more, a lot more than 2 hours.
I don't see how you're going to get it done any cheaper.
What would be the benefit of adding an hour during the day? Just presence?
Just presence, and don't have Travis's guys don't have to write tickets, so we're here at the both lunch days. They can just check the tickets instead of us checking them. Give our guys
presence and warning. You know, if we do have an issue, they can deal with it.
Right.
They would be here, you know, at some point, you know, at noon, whatever, to be able to deal with it.
Like, we had a band out here just this Monday, Tuesday, work out here.
Oh, gosh.
So, Brent dealt with it. Travis dealt with it.
We called the sheriff's department. They even came out, knocked on the door. The guy didn't even acknowledge him. He painted his car.
The windows were all painted up in plastic.
Yeah, but overnight, he blue taped all of his windows and started painting it. But those are the kind of people that, you know, in the whole scope of it, that the port staff really doesn't need to be dealing with.
Right. Yeah. Could that be seasonal also, that 1 hour during the day? Do we really need it in the winter?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It could be all seasonal.
You could write in the contract or as needed. You know, if we find that there's a busy time or something like that, we could add it. I mean, I think we could carefully word exactly what we want with being able to add extra to it just in the contract.
Okay, so the spirit of what it sounds like we talked about then would be a seasonal contract that would include 7 days a week and an extra hour during the day during the busy summer period, and then go to back to 2 hours and 5 days a week in the winter.
Yeah, that sounds good.
How are you going to know what hour you need them in the day?
Well, I think you don't. I mean, it's the same thing as you call the sheriff's department. You might need them now, but they might be 2 hours.
So they're like on call.
It wouldn't be on call. I'd just say, you know, I mean, what I kind of have envisioned, because they start later in the day, so I would move it to around our 3 o'clock window, 2-3 o'clock window, where they could help us patrol the launch ramp as well, and at least show a presence around there if there's heavy boat traffic coming out and any cars trying to come in and park there. 2 to 3 is the window that it would be nice if it was help. And then we just know that if we have an issue and somebody's still there, you know, it can wait. You just leave them alone till 2-3 o'clock when they get there, and then let them deal with it.
Okay. All right. Anything further on that? We're going to morph from there into boat launch parking. We've already talked about that. Any more you want to add on that, Gary, the findings on the boat parking?
But I sent all this information to Oregon State Marine Board. Their staff likes the signs, and they pretty much accepted what we planned. That the board has any other ideas or suggestions before we order the signs.
Well, I like the signs. The only comment would be if that doesn't work, I don't know what else you can do.
So, Gary, on our June 15th meeting, when we discussed about this signage and everything, and you were going to check with the State Marine Board about changing that, allowing recreational, other than recreational boating parking. So did they give you any
okay. What's good karma, not bad?
Maybe that could have been coming from, it looked like it was coming from 2218 number. That's kind of weird. So yeah, I did ask that question.
Oh, good.
For State Marine Board, and that was part of my discussion earlier, that they would rather see us progress with the signs first. Because if we went to the hours, if they're going to ask, how are we going to enforce
and maintain those hours?
And maintain those hours.
Okay, well, I was just wondering if you did have that conversation with them.
I did, yeah. And we're working, we'd rather work this route first before we go into those hours. She said it's violating our agreement, so it's going to be a tougher sell to change those hours. And we're, I don't think they want to really deal with it. And it's going to be really complicated to change those agreements, I think.
It's going to be hard for us to enforce totally. I'd have to get OSP involved.
Well, I get why they probably don't want to open that box. But at the same time, you know, I think that anybody that's in the kind of places that a lot of these ramps are that has a lot of tourists, they're going to have to try and find a practical solution. Because like I said, you, unless short of having somebody down there all day going, can't park here, I mean,
that's not feasible.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Traffic and parking and solos. Parking seems to be a pretty common theme.
Yeah, so in the packet, I got a little diagram of Travis and I made this plan, changing the traffic to one way. Basically changing the slack, you know, the parking stalls to match that one way. No parking on the opposite side of Zola's. Make that like the fire lane. Create a walkway between the building and the parking. So what we've come up so with so far. We're
trying to alleviate it, or it also is helping maybe with the boat launch by bringing the traffic in the other way. Letting them look at our other parking lots first instead of coming in and looking at the launch ramp first. Maybe it'll help.
Has there ever been any thought given to, instead of having them come out into the one-way traffic to go to the boat launch, just make them turn right and they have to go back out next to the building? They alleviate, stop them from even coming out into that roadway.
Where are you talking about?
Go back.
Right here. Have them go up this way. Don't even let them go out that way.
Not our property.
Can't do that.
Yeah, that's the new owners, that area where the line is right here, where these red lines stop, that is our approximate property line. So we won't be able to go into that or come into here at all. Unfortunately, we won't be able to use any of their parking areas for porting.
Travis, the one thing that I see is we're diverting all of the traffic right into the boats and trailers.
I'm trying to say, don't even do that.
And it's
really
just going to be a total, I mean, it's wrecks potentially. I don't know, you know, there is no easy solution to this, but if the traffic comes in and has to go the opposite direction, you're taking, I don't know how many hundred vehicles a day we're talking about, but in the summertime, we're talking about a lot of vehicles that are going to make that turn and come right through the boat trailers. And if everybody's pulling out of the water at the same time, it's bad enough right now trying to get your trailer down there to get access to a boat, you know, the ramp. And we're just compounding it with this design by 1,000%. I would much rather see the traffic go the other direction, come in, because they come in through that anyway, and then if the signposting is there that, you know, they're going into the boat launch area, they make that left turn in front of Zola's. You've got the diagonal parking reversed, and then they're going to go right on, and they're going to go through, go wherever they want to go, but that would put them down into our parking, our new parking lot. That's my thought. But it's enough confusion right now on a busy day down there to try and launch your boat and recover your boat.
Yeah.
During busy time.
I've seen a lot of people, Ken, that come out of Zola's there, and they don't even want to go all the way around the boat launch. They just turn right and go right to the road.
Yeah. You think,
there is no easy solution to this.
Do you think that Zola's would be amenable if we made a sign that says Zola's Parking with a big arrow, stick it on the side of the building?
Hope and new ideas.
I mean, that may help us if we're going to go continue the way it's going right now. That may give them
the correct
clue right there that if you want to park for Zola's, you got to turn left here.
They got to turn left.
So put that back over here where it's off the page.
Where's your...
So we would maintain coming in this way like it is right now. Then either right on the side of Zola's.
Draw it on the
Zola's Parking.
So just put it on the side, you know, we'll make them pay for it. If they'll let us put that sign up there that says Zola's Parking with an arrow pointing down the alley or down this way to kind of give them a visual clue to go that way.
Yeah, instead of going the other way or wherever they want to go.
So maybe you could have a conversation with the guy over there and say, hey, would you mind if we did this to kind of help resolve this? So this
talk with who?
Ian.
Ian.
Oh, Ian. Okay.
It is confusing. I mean, for the public, that
they don't know.
They want to go eat at Zola's. That's all they're worried about.
Right.
So they don't care.
What about putting a sign? We're going to put a welcoming sign, one up towards where you first turn in, another one down here.
Yeah.
Where you just put a sign below that sign.
Sure.
Zola's Parking arrow that.
That would work fine. That would work fine. Just some kind of a visual thing for them to say, oh, if I want to park for Zola's, I got to go this way. That would work.
And while we're talking about this spot, the fact that you cannot legally make a left turn at that location is a real problem. And that little triangular piece that either who owns that, the county? I've heard we own it, the county owns it. But if talking to the city, if we could move that sidewalk back and create a left turn pocket on the main road, that would really help the situation. Because right now people, they stop there and make the left turn, and I've been guilty of it. I look both ways, and if I've got my boat and to try and go up and make a U-turn and come back around to get in their proper lane, that's also problematic. So, I mean, if we could talk to Richard at the County Roads and see what we can do there, because apparently there's not enough width in the actual roadway as it is to make a left turn lane there. But if we had a left turn lane there, utilize that piece of ground that's between us and Oceanside Diner, and then turn that traffic opposite of what you've got shown on this drawing, I think those would be major, major benefits. Because right now people stop out, you know, they can't make that left turn, illegal left turn anyway. So they're parked out there and then they've got traffic backed up. And, you know, see if we can solve the whole.
An illegal turn because it's across the double yellow line. Is that why it's illegal?
Pardon me?
You're talking about turning from this lane coming in here. It's a double yellow.
Yeah. And if we, that little piece of that corner right there that is unused, I just can't picture if the county owns it, we own it, whoever owns it, that creating an issue if we were to take a corner of that off, if that would help get us a left turn pocket coming.
Majority of that park, that triangle is new owner. The county right of way does come down and does some funky thing there. The county right of way does encompass that sidewalk. But how far it goes back
into the port at, for, into the other properties. We definitely asked Richard.
Yeah, I mean.
Roadmaster to find out.
Yeah, we need to find out how to make it legal to turn there, because we all straddled the line going anyway.
Well, everybody turns there, I mean, it doesn't.
You have to.
You live in Harbor, you're gonna probably come that way, and that's how you're gonna get to the boat ramp, so.
Take the line away.
Okay. Anything further on traffic patterns or parking?
Oh, finish still.
All right. Fire hydrant at Basin Two.
This is our second fire hydrant that we wanna put in, the board approved putting in two fire hydrants, a couple years ago, a year ago. We put in one on the west side, this is the other one we wanna put in on the east side. And the little map I got there is roughly where we're thinking about putting it, just figure that, any input, you guys are okay with that site?
If you bring a hydrant over there, that would provide, is there water service in there right now? In that area?
What do you mean by water service?
Is there any water, anything in that grass strip right there?
There's water, we have our main water for that side of the Basin Two and the bathroom and Hallmark.
Just to the left.
Just to the left, right next to the roadway that comes in there.
Okay, so there, we've got water over there, okay.
Who installs that?
We would put it out for a bid, it would be a local contractor, and they'd be working with, Harbor Water. Harbor Waters are, they're gonna provide the fire hydrant, so.
Then you'd also have to work with the county on the road, right?
The contractor will have to work with the county.
Port pays for all that installation?
And the material is covered by, Harbor Water, except for the tapping of the line, we'll have to pay for that.
Well, having experienced the fire down there, this is a pretty important thing, I think, huh?
Yeah.
Did you guys see the email that I sent? Of you guys?
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas had a fire just the 4th of July weekend, right? July 3rd. Yeah, a house boat or something catch fire, and then it burned down the whole dock.
That's crazy. Well, I know when that net was on fire, that was pretty spectacular, and there was, you know, if I came down here, and Harbor Fire had to run that hose a long way to get anywhere close to that.
And it leaked everywhere.
Yeah, so. Okay, anything further on fire hydrants? All right.
It's a good thing.
Joint permit application.
Yeah, just update on joint permit application, the agencies are requiring Jack to do a lot more than what he anticipated. But some of the costs involved are quite expensive. So Jack.
No, I missed one.
So with the costs involved, and timeframes to get everything needs to get done for the permits, we're just gonna, work on this throughout the next 6-8 months and forego any construction on this FEMA project for this end water period and for the next end water period. Hopefully get our scope of work and funding ironed out with FEMA and acquire a dredge and get some of the work done before that dredging actually happens.
So would we have a target, you're talking about the slope repair also, right?
Yep.
What would be our target for having a contract for that?
I would say sometime in the summer next year.
Yeah, I would think we would wanna have everything in place, permits, contracts, and everything, so that the start of work would be on October 1st.
Yeah, some of the work that's not in the water would be could happen a couple of months before that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm envisioning. We get all of our permits, we're gonna have to get permits through the county, which will, may take 3 months, you know, by itself, from what I'm finding out with the RV park. It's gonna take 3 months to going through that, process. So, I'm gonna just slow down, try not to rush it, to try to get stuff going for this in order, period, to slow down and get, make sure we do everything right, get our funding, and look forward that way.
So Jack then would have to, because his funding picks up again in January, right?
Yeah, every calendar year, we can spend $100,000 on Jack.
Okay, so on January 1st, he needs to really get cranking on this to get this done.
Yeah, well, he's not slowing down, he's still working on, you know, on the backside of things, you know, getting everything lined up, so he'll be chomping at the bit.
Okay, all right.
How many labs do this kind of work? At the testing?
Well, I don't know how many labs, there's probably quite a few.
Well, and did we put it out to a competitive bid, or does it just go to one particular lab and they charge us what they want?
That's Jack's, that's under Jack's purview.
Okay.
My bet is there's a preferred lab somewhere that probably does a lot of work for FEMA. That's most likely where they'll go, to somebody that, you know, got a known track record, so. Just speculation, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack said how deep they wanna go.
They're saying it's been a decade, and they're talking 8-9 feet.
Wow.
So, yeah.
There's deep.
It's substantial drilling and testing, really like that. Jack's estimating $50,000 for the testing, with the core driller, laboratory, and then analysis and all that kind of stuff. Part of that, just that alone, we couldn't do it this year anyways, which was this contract, we'd be over that now, so.
Gary, when is the timeframe for the in-water work? I don't.
October through February, March 1st.
I've got another question for you, Gary. Does anyone know the actual depth of this port when it was built?
We actually have construction drawings. Yeah, I got 1973. Well, actually, I think there is some drawings that show Basin 1, but Basin 2,
Basin 2 would be the one I'd be thinking of. But
yeah, but we do have the depths.
Yep. How deep do you think the port is actually lost its depth, I guess you could say?
We have probably 200,000 yards that need to come out of our port. 200,000.
How deep is that, you think, Travis? 8 feet?
Well, our port is designed to be at 11.75 under zero tide. So at zero tide, 11.75 feet. So everywhere in between that is all material that's come out. And that's every bit of 200,000. That's a lot.
Just asking.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
The good thing that we have going for us is we have enough smaller boats that can go against the especially high field size, and then, you know, down here in basins, that you don't necessarily need to be 11.75 deep right there. You can kind of manage what can be left out there, but to bring it all back to depth, it's about 200,000 yards.
When you said zero tide, you mean low tide? Mean low tide?
Mean zero tide.
Zero size.
Oh, neutral tide.
Yeah. 11.75
under zero. That's quite a bit of material.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
I mean, 200,000 yards is that's a big number. That's a lot of material.
All right. Anything further on that? Cattle Seafood.
This is they're holding a little concert on the 23rd, which is the Friday. So just letting you know that they're setting that up. They're gonna close the access road and have a detour going around for the fuel dock or for transit dock. And they already paid the fee for that.
Okay.
Is there somebody monitoring the traffic while it's detoured and all the turn?
It'll be monitoring all that for the contract. They do all the traffic control.
Roy Davis, Memorial Bench location.
Yeah, so Travis and I have been looking at the location that we proposed earlier, and we just keep on finding issues with that location. We're hoping the board be okay moving it on the concrete boardwalk.
I like it better there, personally.
I think after looking at it, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
The place we chose is a nightmare to work on.
Because of the grading and the substrate.
It's the grading, there's no.
Drill a hole in the concrete?
I was gonna pour it, if you see in the picture, there's little light pads, light post pads. I was gonna put basically another smaller one right off the side of it, right behind it, beside it. So it would be there in the nice old concrete paddle. I don't really want it, that's a foot thick of concrete right there.
Yeah.
Where it go off the back.
I like this area right over here by the flagpole, by the grass, too.
Out here?
Yeah. And the only reason that I say that is because every time we had an event down here, Roy was always out here on this boardwalk, and it was always something special. But, you know, whichever's easy.
Well, another little bit of a method to the madness here is that if we end up having more, there is people that want to have memorial benches here. There is certain people that pass away that in the future that we might want to recognize in a fashion like this. This boardwalk is beautiful. It doesn't go anywhere. It's a really nice place that if we wanted to, it would be another good place to consider putting multiple memorial benches, you know, along it if we ever wanted to. Then, because we have a memorial over by the launch ramp. There's another one at Basin 2.
Another one
we have the Fisherman's Memorial. There's another one at the RV park. It makes it really hard for the port, for us as staff changes, as people change, that these memorial benches. I had one person come up, they haven't been here in 15 years, and they wanted to know where their sign went. And I was like, I don't know. So if we can start condensing where these go, and maybe, you know, it just might make sense to start utilizing that.
I like the bench site that you ordered for them, better than the ones with wood or anything, because they just deteriorate.
Yeah, they're concrete benches.
This will look nice for the long time.
Okay, anything further on Roy's bench? Delinquent account write-off. My favorite thing.
More and more.
Yeah, so this account here, we've exhausted all of our means and methods to contact this person, and he has refused to talk to us, so we are moving forward to corrections.
So what are we seizing?
Some miscellaneous gear that's been left in his simple gear spot, post rope, some long line stuff, some crab, HRs.
Chunk.
It's stuff I'm really, I'm surprised it's left, but it is what left behind, and like Gary said, we've exhausted all of our efforts.
So what are you going to do with it?
We're going to take it, put it all in the boat storage behind our shop, roll it off, and go through the first seizure process as abandoned gear, and wait 30 days and sell it or throw it away.
Okay. So then Martha will have costs then?
No.
You don't go through her for seizure stuff?
No, Kim takes care of all that.
Okay. Thank you.
We're getting pretty good at it.
Had a lot of practice.
Yeah, we're getting pretty good at it.
Lots of practice.
So the totes have no value?
I'm sure the totes do. just have to get it all together. We'll take pictures of it before we off anything. Me and Gary will look at it. If there's anything of actual value that we deem valid, of value, then of course we'll go through the proper ropes of posting it on a auction website or just have it just selling it.
Great.
In the newspaper or something.
So are they out of business? They're not fishing anymore?
Don't know.
Marty, we know they live up towards Astoria.
Yeah.
Their address is, so we're assuming they just hightail it back up there and they refuse certified mail and.
And you know, most of the time it can be any number of reasons. I have heard it all now, you know, why. And,
do you know this guy Joe anything about?
It's just a little.
A little blue pursuit.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Him and his dad. Good con.
And they got the gear pile over there by the ice house.
All that just what we're getting ready to take. I mean, they.
I was reading it. I was just thinking it can't be him.
It is. And not naming names, but we've gone through this with a couple other. Local fishermen here that almost ended up in this exact same area, and most of it because our letters, our demand notices go unread, and they don't care until we take it, and then it seems to grab their attention a little quicker, which is unfortunate because it's a long process, but, you know, this one's been sent home, the 31st.
Difference between $40,000 sitting there and $1,600 in your pocket too, so.
Well, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, we come last to a lot of people. The port is when it comes to people's finances and their boats, we come last. A lot of the time, we come last.
Is the pursuit still here?
No.
Boats are gone.
Might have been a bad year, sold the boat.
No, I didn't sell the boat. He's getting ready to fish up north.
Yeah, and.
But, what do you plan on putting a lien on his stuff?
We're not going to put a lien on it.
We're not going to put a lien on it. It's abandoned. I mean, all attempts for us to be able to contact him or to make reasonable efforts to contact him. Every single one has failed.
There's going to be a series of more letters going out for abandonment. So if he ignores those, that's abandoned.
Then we'll seize it and sell it.
Abandonment is not seizing. Seizing is.
Well, it's securing your payment.
Yeah, it's securing your payment. This is all, everything of value is really gone. So it's abandoned here.
Well, good luck. Maybe you'll answer the letters.
I'll go over there after the meeting, see what's left over there.
Going it off. Stay out of it.
No, I just want to see what's there. I just can't believe that.
There you go, like the railroad truck.
Well, it sounds like we've got a carcass we're going to go pick up here now.
Everybody's
you know,
your
even
truck.
If he does come through and he pays the bill, you know, for his stuff, and he does come through it when we have it, and he answers it. He can pay it, and he can have his stuff back, but we won't. They'll still be terminated. Yeah. We won't go back down the road of trying to get our money for 6 more months.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
We don't want it.
A little more exciting than I thought. So. Anything else on this?
No.
Okay, let's move to the Curry County land use application.
Well, this is the first step to get a permit through the county, and we need board's approval to sign it.
This is the kite field.
This is the expansion of our six sites.
Oh, okay.
And remodeling the other site.
Okay.
So this, Martha thought it'd be wise to have the president sign the document. So whoever the new president's gonna be in the next meeting will be the one to sign it. And then, and the motion I'll fight after that, have the court manager sign all the rest of the permits. This is like the first major permit that costs $1,500 and get the project permit system rolling. That's what we're looking at.
Okay.
So what's your timeline on the project possibly being started?
Well, as long as the planning department approves this, it looks kind of complicated to me on their review. Hopefully they don't have a problem with it. And then hopefully get a permit in the next 3 months, then start to work right after that. I think in the next month, I'll be putting this thing out to bid.
Oh, good. Good.
Get a contract lined up.
Have it for
and hopefully start
we'll get it
in October.
Lined out. And
well, hopefully before the rain starts getting crazy.
It's going to be contractor. You call any contractor, they're not saying they can be there tomorrow. So they're busy, and we also want to make sure that we're gaining, that we don't shut off our revenue source too early, that we make sure that we can gain as much as we can until, unfortunately, kind of the rainy season, and, you know, and get the work done while the RV park's at its lowest.
Right. I'd like to try to, hopefully, we can have this done and operational for next season.
I think we'll.
For next summer, absolutely.
Good.
Well, depending on supplies.
Supplies, I mean, yeah.
I know things are.
Things are very difficult right now.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
In the supplies world, it's not.
It doesn't matter what you're trying to get, I'll tell you.
Well, we just bought some new boards for the boardwalk right now. A 2x12, 20-foot pressure treated board is $100, $99.99.
I know.
Like 13 boards on that boardwalk, and it's $1,300.
That's all they have.
But they look good.
They do look good. They look good. You got to do it.
They better.
I was very shocked when we bought this. And then,
oh, yeah.
And then on top of that's all they had. We couldn't even buy any more if we wanted to. We'd be ordering them in and waiting for them to get here.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay. See that stack alone. Jay Sloan, request for air conditioning.
Yeah, Jay Sloan is requesting. She usually requests every year when it gets hot. And then she always asks. This is probably like the third or fourth year in a row. And every time I've asked her to submit to a proposal, so this time she actually submitted her request.
Well, her request is that we put it in.
That's the way I read it, yes.
For no additional charge to her. Is that her expectation?
Yeah.
We haven't gone over exactly what her expectation is, but that's what we perceive it as, yes. We haven't asked her if she's willing to put any money towards it, but I don't believe so. She hasn't in the past.
I would make the suggestion on this one and any others that come along similar that ask her what her expectations are. If she would like us to put it in and we have the money, then we put it in, but we increase her rent. You know, by an appreciable, whatever is relevant or fair.
I mean, if we own that machine, we're going to have service and
right.
All those kind of issues to go with it. We should be, I think it's reasonable for us to expect we should be able to collect something for that.
That was going back more than a couple of years, that was a discussion I had with her. She chose not to go proceed that way. So, but I can ask her again.
But you've highlighted verbiage in here that specifically says it's her responsibility.
Right.
We don't have to do anything.
Right.
And there's other buildings that other units that don't have air conditioning, other units that have provided their own air conditioning, by their own means. So, some of the units that we have, they have it because the port has at one time or another been in those buildings or it operated the building and we put the port put it in, so.
So this comes down to three things then. So one is she won't do it. Two is she does it, pays for it, becomes property of the port. Three, we put it in and charge her more, basically.
How long does?
She pays the power bill.
Yes, she pays the power bill.
How long does her lease continue?
I think it was a 3-year with a 3-year option, I believe. It's a typical lease, standard lease, yeah. And I think she renewed it last year, I believe. It was last year that she renewed it, so.
Because we do it at our expense, interesting to have the lease. Our monies for term of lease.
Either that or play with the numbers and see what, you know, what her number would be to finish out the lease. See if that's, you know, an agreeable number. And it all boils down to cost and, you know, how easy it is to put a unit. You know, the air conditioner is going to require an outside unit. Unfortunately, she's sandwiched between two buildings. There's no surrounding outside areas to put it. So there could be ducting, you know, that's going to have to get pulled from somewhere else. So, you know, the cost, we're not sure what the costs are even going to be on our side, even if we wanted to humor doing it.
More likely the amendment to her current lease. That's typically how we do those leases.
Okay. Any further on the beauty shop? Okay.
So, just before we move on to the next item, we'll talk to Martha, we'll talk to Tabitha and find out what she wants to do. It may not be on the next meeting agenda, but if she does come up with a solution, then I'll put it on the agenda. But more than likely, it's probably not going to be on the next meeting agenda. So,
you're talking to the future agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Good.
God, I thought we were done with parking. Have some more parking spaces.
Gotta love summertime.
Oh, these are the handicap spaces.
Right.
That's accessible parking spaces in the current lingo for 2021.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's what we learned anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, we found that we don't have these parking spaces at Station 2. So that's what we're looking at doing. Any comments?
Yeah, so in Basin 2, the asphalt's not that good.
Nope.
Near these places. They're bad. So, like, are we going to just blue stripe it ourselves and put up a sign? Or, I mean, it wouldn't be something you'd contract out for, right?
Oh, yes, we would.
Why?
When you look on the next page on page 67, accessible parking spaces are very specific, and professionals are the ones that need to be making sure the widths are right, the spacing's right, the angle of the hash marks are right, the stenciling is correct. We can install the posts and the signs in the posts, but as far as what the paint is going on the ground, I know it's not that good, but I'm getting quotes right now. One was, I thought, was extremely high at about $3,000, I think. Our local guys can do it for $1,500-ish, something like that. But for either way, to put some paint on the ground, they can come and they'll blow it off, and at least it'll give us a base to start with. So if we ever overlay it or anything, it just goes back to what we're putting in.
Yeah, because I know you have some areas that you're going to be doing the seal coating on and that, and I can understand having somebody come in and do that, but okay, well. That's what we have to
do. For regular parking stalls, yes, we would do them. For accessible parking stalls, like I said, they're very specific.
Okay.
Is that 15 per space or total?
15.
You said $1,500-ish?
For the entire job, to put the paint on the ground, to be able to do the paint.
Per
per space or for all of them?
No, for all of them, for all of them. I had one come from Tri-County Asphalt in Crescent City somewhere. He came up with $3,000, but we're paying quite a bit for him to get here and to come here and do the work. So I'm also trying to get our local guy here to give me a number, but it's steel coating time, so they're really busy trying to get the numbers.
People are short of help too.
Yeah, and that boils down to what it is too, is help. And I found out paint. The paint for the striping machine is in a short.
What?
The paint's short.
2021's turning into the perfect storm. I thought 2020 was bad. This is getting ridiculous.
And I'm also gonna just say, so everybody's aware, you'll notice that the stars.
Yes.
Are very specifically placed there because the other ramps that we have don't have the infrastructure there to allow for the access. Mm-hmm. The rules are specific about one to every 25 parking spaces. Mm-hmm. There's no distance, there's no thing, so we're utilizing one side for the bathroom and that, and then each side has an access that's existing that we're able to use. So we'll be in compliance, but in the future, if we ever want to do further upgrades to add accessible parking down there, we can, but it'll put us into compliance with these areas. And then we're also doing one over at the transit dock, a single stall, which would be on page 68.
Can you say accessible? Does that mean there's a curb cut in place already?
There's a ramp or at least a flat landing that they can access as a sidewalk.
I went over to that ramp and there was no signage or anything over there, being a, you know, for the emergency vehicles to be able to take their gurneys down it or anything, because the way it's made, concrete, they can do that. But
made for handicap.
Yeah, there's no handicap sign or nothing, but I guess we'll put one.
Well, there, and since I've been here, there never has been. And we looked over the drawings that from when it was built from like 75, and there's no actual parking lot detail. And then the last upgrade that was done was in 2003, mm-hmm. where the ramps and the landing that are in Basin 2 met the ADA standard at that time. So that approach, everything we have down there is good. It's just we don't have the parking stalls to go with it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I've checked the agenda. There's no more parking on it, just to say. So let's go to the Bluefin Lease Building roof and rot repair.
Yeah.
So this is another building that we just recently leased out, 71. We've been kind of having on our radar for a while that the roof needs to be redone. It's kind of been falling apart. So this is our chance to get it done. So we put the ad in the paper for the roof for 2 weeks,
yeah.
And we got one back. I got one call back from Edwards Roofing. He said they were too busy, so we got one quote back for $7,800, and that's roof, fascia, and new step flashing vents around the skylights. So there is going to be, just so everybody knows, that's the base, what we had them put out for them to be able to give us quotes on. When we tear the roof off, if there's additional rot, you know, that'll be extra. Now, port staff, I'm getting quotes right now. This wall that's actually on page 72 that you're looking at, this wall, the siding's rotted. It needs to be replaced. So we're going to redo that whole wall, and the weather side that's overlooking the basin is also rotted. But port staff is going to be doing that here shortly. I'm getting close for material on that right now.
Who's the person that contacted you, the roofers again that we used before? They seem to be available because they're new.
But she's still with materials and stuff. The Roofers LLC, her name's April Heppensall.
Roofers LLC is the company?
The name of the company, yeah, and they've done quite a few roofs for us now, and, they come in at the, with the lower price, and they do good work for us, so no reason not to keep going with it.
On the subject of roofs, is there any kind of a maintenance schedule for those, to spray them, to keep the moss off them, or anything like that?
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at that one right there.
I used to do it every year, but they say every other year, and it does make the life expectancy probably a third longer. My roof's 28 years old, and it's a 30-year roof, and it's just starting to, you know, years.
Well, I'm using that powder, you know, I just go and put the powder along the top of it, and it rains, and it seems to work, so.
And use Tide soap, too.
Tide soap on broom.
It works. Okay, all right, anything further on the roof? SBA Board of Directors and Management Training.
Yeah, it seems like every year at this time, they come out with this training, or when elections happen, they come up with this training, so I went ahead and put everybody down for this training, and if you can't make it, just let me know, then I'll just take you off the list. Right now, like Sharon won't be able to make it.
I don't know, I won't know till next week.
Yeah. So if you guys have any other schedules happening, just let me know, and I'll cancel the position.
I've taken it three times.
Kim, Travis, and myself are going as well.
This is George Dunkel again, and.
Yeah, George Dunkel, that other lawyer lady.
Well, this is a good one.
Yeah.
Already on my calendar. They're gonna be talking about open meeting law and ethics and.
The whole nine yards, yeah.
Yeah.
And some other stories, probably.
Okay. And last but not least, the wastewater treatment plant funding update.
Yeah, this, I don't know if you guys seen the press release, we'll put the press release in this packet here, it's just as an update of where the funding is at this point. It's, I guess it's in the Senate side, and I'm not sure exactly if it's tied to their latest infrastructure funding that they're all talking about.
I saw a news release by DeFazio's office about this, and it sounds to me like this is embedded in the Department of Interior's budget. So it's not in the infrastructure bill.
It might be in a place where it's more likely to get funded.
My understanding is the Department of Interior's budget is the most difficult one to pass, for whatever reason. But that's what it sounds to me like it's in, and that gave me more comfort than the infrastructure bill, because it's probably not going to get all this ping pong between, you know, the one side that wants to put childcare in the infrastructure bill and the other side that wants to just build roads and, you know, all that cooking stuff. But, So question on this treatment plant. We have to have match for this, correct?
Yes.
And it's 25% match?
I believe it's 25%, yes.
And this is 3.1 million?
3.5 is what Jack's estimated amount was, 3.5.
So our match portion of that would be what?
850,000? Is it math right?
Okay.
But it could be manpower or dollars?
I don't know.
Oh, well, because you haven't seen it.
Don't know what the federal government
is. So then our goal would be to go to the state and see if we can get some help from them on this match.
The county's actually looking at helping us out. And also, I've asked Pacific Seafood if they were willing to pitch in. I think we could probably work some kind of agreement with them if they pitched in. Yeah, then we can ask Business Oregon, but more than likely, I'll probably get a no because of our debt, and we'll probably be going like our RV park, which is private loan.
Okay. Once this is built, then we've got to staff it. So that's going to take, how many people do you think to do that?
Jack says one person.
Okay.
Maybe one of us.
So then we would recover the cost of that staff person by charging Pacific Seafood for this.
Yeah, and probably the power cost, and you know, there'll be some power and whatever maintenance cost on top of the debt. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Unless Pacific Seafood puts in a lot of money for the matching, then we can probably offset some of that with the operating costs for a number of years. They have a lease for 60 years over there, so I think it's in their best interest to get this done. So they can have it for another 60 years there.
Have you had any communication with the Port of Charleston about this idea?
No. No, other than that first conversation that we talked about, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything more on plan?
Not today.
Do you have any comments? Commissioner comments? Next meeting will be Tuesday night at 6:00 in this room. We're adjourned.